Welcome to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims, live here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. Guess what? This is the 82nd day in the year of 2021. There are 283 days left to do what you haven't done, what you know you need to do for yourself and for others. Aren't we glad that this is a new day, and every day God's mercies are new, okay? Now, this is WWGH 107.1 FM radio. Don't forget, we stream live on the web, www.1071.com. You can also download free app on any electronic device and search WWGH. If you would like to call in today during the time we are on the air, from now up until the top of the hour of 5 p.m., you may call 740-383-9944 if you have any questions or would like to make any comments. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, here in Marion, Ohio. Phone 740-382-8552. We have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They will be having free produce on April the 17th from 12 noon until 2 p.m. Please mark your calendars or share this information with someone that you know can benefit from free produce. Inspect Ohio LLC, your one call home inspection company with 29 years of experience working for you. The owner is Cheryl Lee, location LaRue, Ohio. Phone 740-262-0939. I'd like to start my show off with a thought for today, and it's titled, Give Blessings. We are all blessed with life and all the opportunities it brings, though most of us forget to notice. But we also have blessings to give. In face-to-face, the opportunity to give our blessings may be the greatest blessing of all. By bestowing our good wishes, encouraging, empowering others, use blessings. And when we do, they return a thousandfold. Bless and be blessed. Hopefully some of you got the thought. I was trying to read my writing. I'm sorry, my phone ran out of juice just before I got here. I was walking out the door, okay, so I had to scribble it down really, really fast. But give blessings, and it really blessed my heart today to know that we can give and also receive blessings. Okay? Now, let me turn my attention to my guest today, Minister Annette Johnson. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good.
It's so good to be with you all.
I'm shocked, but yeah.
I know, I'm actually here.
It's been a while.
I know.
Absolutely. And she's here to talk about suicide. But just tell us a little bit about yourself, Annette, and lead us up to why you're really concerned about this.
Well, I've did ministry for about 25 years now, so in many different ways, and prison ministries and music and writing a book and just many different ways of ministry that God has. I've become a chaplain years ago, and I've been dealing with a lot of people, you know, that are hurting, and that's kind of why we're here today, is that there's so many people out there hurting because of suicide. Mm-hmm. And this has affected me twice. It's bad enough when it only happens once in your life and you think it's so traumatic that you'll never survive it. And then years later, here you go again. And it's something that nobody wants to talk about. A lot of times your child or someone commit suicide, the whole family gets very quiet, and people will be asking, well, what happened? What happened to them? And nobody wants to say anything.
It's the unthinkable.
It's the unthinkable. They don't want to speak up and say, well, my child did this, my brother did that. And it's so sad, and it's so horrible, and there's so many people living in secret, and secret pain in their homes and in their lives, that I feel that God wants me to speak up and talk about suicide. I feel that God is making me, he's pulling me. I'm not going happily, trust me, because this is a very hard subject for me. And I have a friend with me right now that her son committed suicide years ago. And we can tell you the before and the after. And what happens before and what happens after is, you know, nothing. It's just horrible what happens to people who are left behind. I want to tell you about my stepson. His name was Robert. And he would call me. Robert was an alcoholic and a drug addict. And he would call me every night for 2 or 3 hours in the morning, saying that he was going to kill himself. And of course, you know, I would do what everybody does. I would beg for his life every night for hours. And I would beg for his life.
What would you say to him?
I would tell him that his friends are, you know, that I could get him new friends, that they didn't have to be the same friends that, you know, did all the partying, that I would get him new friends, mm-hmm. and that I would take him to church, and that God could make him whole, and that mm-hmm. he could stop drinking, he could stop drugs. I tried everything, and I mean everything. One time I took him to the church, and we're sitting in there, and the preacher's preaching real, you know, a fiery message, and Robert's sitting there with his hands gripping white of the seat. And I was thinking, God, please, please, please. I want him to give in and go to the altar. Well, he didn't do that. And I was thinking, okay. So we're walking out the door of the church. And I looked back, and he started smiling at me. And he said, he almost got me. And I was like, well, what do you mean?
Wow.
And he goes, he almost got me to the altar. And I thought right then and there, well, there's going to be another chance, because I'm going to drag you here again. You know, and so, you know, I thought, oh, God, you know, you beckoned at his heart. Please do it again. And so every night I would do anything I could, anything, and say anything to, you know, tell him we loved him so much, and that suicide was not the answer. And, oh, I even helped get him a job, and went out and bought him new clothes for this job. And, oh, he was so happy that he was going to be a cook in a restaurant. And this was, you know, I was thinking, okay, it's a fresh start. It's a fresh start. And it wasn't a week later that one day he called me up out of the blue. And it was like all the other 1,000 times he'd called me. He was drinking, and he was saying, I'm going to kill myself. And this time he said, you know, he said, I want to tell you something. And I said, okay. And I was listening to him, and he says, I want you to have my dogs. I'm like, you're not going anywhere. We'll be talking again tomorrow. And he goes, no, I want you to have my dogs. And I was like, okay. You know, so I was playing along with him. And then the next thing, he's like, you know, do you remember when you met me at the grocery store outside, and I was riding my bike and made you get out of the car? And I said, yeah, I remembered that. He goes, do you remember what I told you? And I said, what was that? And he goes, that I love you. And I told him, I said, well, I love that. I love you too. And he goes, well, I want you to know that I love you. And I thought, okay, this is one of the many, many times that we have went through all of this. he's not going to do it. I'll talk to him again. He even asked me on the phone. He says, is my dad there? Well, his dad was frustrated and tired and wore out from years of begging for his life.
Wow.
And his dad says, well, I'll just talk to him later. So I told him, I said, well, your dad can't come to the phone right now, but we're fixing to leave, but we'll call you when we get back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the next step is that when I get back, I get this phone call that would change my world completely. And he goes, someone's on the phone and says, you need to get here right now. You need to get here now. He's done shot himself.
Oh, my.
And what had happened, and this is the thing with suicide, is that it don't just take one person down. Sometimes it takes a family. It takes a generation down. And I dropped that phone. And you know that young man that I just bought clothes for. I had just bought him new shirt, new tie. I bought him new pants and everything. I was now looking for clothes to bury him in. And let me tell you, I thought I would come unglued. I really thought I would come unglued. My mind wanted to snap. Except for the grace of God.
Right.
Except for the grace of God, because God reminded me of all the millions of times I begged for his life, all the things I said to try to keep him from it. But when someone is determined...
Did you ever find out the root of the cause? Why was he drinking? Did he ever share?
No, he never shared. He was just an alcoholic, and he never shared, you know, why he was doing it. But I kind of understood. The family was kind of they were kind of, you know, awkward. They didn't listen to each other. So I kind of thought it was that, you know. But I know that, you know, the next thing I'm seeing is him on a slab in the hospital. And I remember seeing him, and his dad was with me, and all I wanted to do was scream and hit his chest and tell him and ask him, what didn't I tell you about Jesus?
Right. Yeah.
What didn't I tell you about Jesus? And you know, you want to stop it. You want to stop them, but sometimes you can't stop them.
Right.
But you can try, and you can look back, and you can say, you know, I did try everything. Everything I knew, you know. But people nowadays, they're thinking about suicide. There's families that are going through suicides. And, you know, and the next step, we were burying him in the clothes I just picked out for him. And how horrible it was. But by the grace of God that I survived. But not only that time... Then recently,
did he even when you saw him after he had killed himself, did he feel like he had peace on his face?
It seemed like he had freed the world of himself. That's what it seemed like. That he thought he was a burden. He thought that he was a problem. He thought that nobody could love him and accept him for who he was. He thought he could never stop drinking or doing drugs. He thought there was nobody to help him.
Right.
You know, and all the times that he called begging for help and pleading, I could only lead him to Jesus. I don't have the answers. I don't, but there are answers out there. There are people to talk to. You know, I've got, there's a suicide group on Facebook, and it's called Suicide Survivors Group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a place where you can go and to get help. And we've also got what's called Careline. In Careline, you can call at a number at 740-383-2273. We'll say it again in a few minutes. But there is help out there. You know, I tried to help him, but sometimes you cannot help somebody if they're determined on it. But you can give your best to them.
Yes.
You know, all you can do, you give them Jesus. I didn't know anything else but to give them Jesus. And so through the many, many days, later on, I struggled with it so bad. But knowing that I had given my best to him and everything helped me. But a lot of parents don't have that. They don't know. Because like with my closest friends, there was no signs.
Right.
There was no signs. And there's like, did you miss something? No, there was no signs.
You know, content and happy every day.
Every day, there. You know, some people don't have any signs at all. You don't know. You know, you don't know what somebody is thinking in their mind.
True.
You know, and
we are
not mind readers. And who in the world could think unreasonable? This was an unreasonable thing. This. This in no way, shape, or form could ever make, you could never make sense of it.
No.
You could never. Yeah, you could never make sense of somebody's action to do this.
Right.
You know, we all have common sense, but common sense does not teach us to do something so horrible to ourselves. You know, and so, you know, if you've got somebody in your life, if you know somebody who's talking about suicide, if you know somebody, like just like he tried to give me his dog,
right,
you know,
right.
If you know somebody and you see the signs, act on it. Start telling them how much they're loved. Start telling them that they're worthy of praise and they're worthy of living. And, you know, there's so many things that you can pour your soul into them and help them know that God has the answers that they don't have. You know, I recently have went through it again. And after the first time, I was like, I'll never get close to somebody who's suicidal. I'll never do that.
But
you don't know. That's right.
I don't know.
And then, you know, you go through, I'm on the survivors group, and I'm like, you know, talking to people, and I'm feeling that urge where, you know, you, as a minister as I am, I want to help them not hurt so bad because
right.
I know how God helped me. You know, well, then it happened to me again. And I would have never, never, never dreamed of who it would have been that did it. But not too long ago, about 4 months ago, I answer my phone about 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear somebody screaming. I don't know who this somebody is.
Right.
I couldn't think straight. And all I can do is hear screaming. And pretty soon I kept hearing, Mama. Mama, and I'm like, who is this? Because it was so distraught. I didn't know who it was until I realized that it was my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, Amy? And she goes, Mama, and she's screaming. And you know how a mama's heart just drops. Oh, my goodness, when your child is screaming, Mama, help me. Oh, my God, and you don't know what's going on. It's in the middle of the night, and she's screaming, Mama, help me. And I'm like, what is wrong? What is wrong, Amy? And she says, my dad just committed suicide. And it just shocked me. It just woke me up. It shocked me, and I would have never dreamed that would happen. But he lived a lonely life and a hard life, and he didn't really like people, but we still were kind to him. And you know, and the only person he had ever had in his life was my daughter and me. That's it. He had no friends, no nothing, but I still always tried to treat him nicely and kindly and everything. And my daughter was in his corner, but because of COVID he lost his job, and it was just one more thing. He walks out of his apartment and stands by his car, and he took a gun and shot through his heart and lived long enough to sit down in the car and die. And you know, I again I'm thinking, God, what didn't I say? God, what didn't I do? God, I would have never thought this person would do this. You know, why didn't he know Jesus more? You know, why does he feel like he needed to do this? You know, you question yourself. There's one thing that me and my best friend talk about. You question yourself. The guilt that you live with is enormous.
Yeah.
The guilt of, you know, not reaching out and knowing that somebody's in serious trouble.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you know, we reach out to people who we think, you know, might need us or something, but someone who's seriously thinking of taking their life. He even had a gun manual. He never fired a gun before in his life, and he had a gun manual on his end table showing him how to do it.
Loaded and everything.
Loaded and everything. And pulled the trigger. And my daughter is broken. She is broken into a million pieces. And that's what happens with suicide. It breaks you into a million people. What happens afterwards and when someone dies and you think, how am I going to live? How am I going to go on? You can't live without Jesus.
No, you cannot.
Because Jesus provides your future. Jesus is the one that brings your hope. Jesus is the one that gives you faith to make it to the next day.
Right.
You need Jesus because it will destroy you. The guilt will keep you lost forever. You will stay in grief the entire time. If it's 20 or 30 or 40 years, you will live in grief.
Yes.
Because of your loved one. But God doesn't want you to live that way.
No.
God wants you to live victorious and
yes.
guilt-free. God wants you to rise up and go help somebody else
right.
that needs it. You know, I could stay at home. I could stay at home and say, this is not for me. It is too painful.
Yes.
And it is. It is painful. It is gut-wrenching.
Yes, it is.
You know, but people are, young people are dying from suicide. It talks, I was kind of doing some little studies that says 13% out of 100,000 people die a year.
Suicidal.
And it says 130 people die a day.
A day?
A day.
Wow.
130 people die a day from suicide. You know, this is something that is not like a regular death. We were talking about it earlier. It's
right.
not like a regular death. If somebody was in a car accident and, oh, you know, they died because the car, you know, was crashed. Suicide's not. Suicide is so different.
Oh,
there's so many things to it. And I want people to know that there is hope and there is answers. If you need someone to talk to, please call my personal phone number, 740-382-0745. Get online, go to the Facebook Survivor, the Suicide Survivor Group. Call Caroline. Oh my goodness, call Caroline. They're waiting. They're waiting to listen to you. And you do matter. I want you to
yes,
know that
absolutely.
You matter.
Right.
You matter more than anything.
Yes.
You matter. God wants to heal your heart. Whatever is driving you crazy, whatever you've done in your past, let it go. God
right.
wants to love you.
He knows it anyway.
Yes. God wants to love you to life. He doesn't want to love you to death. He wants to love you to life.
Absolutely.
That's what God wants. He doesn't want you dead. This is not the answer.
No, it's not.
It is not the answer. This is not going to help your parents. It's not going to make things easier on them. It's going to destroy your parents. And then in generations down the line, people are going to ask about you and they're going to say, oh, they took their life. That's not the route that you need to do. I'm talking to you today. I want you to know it's not the answer.
No, it's not the answer.
It's not the answer. It's not. God is the answer.
He is
the answer.
Absolutely.
He will help you. He will help you in whatever it is that you are struggling. The drugs, alcohol, mental abuse, physical abuse. We've all been there, and God can help you.
Right.
You know, and He wants to help you, and He's not going to judge you.
No.
See, we can't send people.
No.
If you told me tomorrow that you're thinking about committing suicide.
God forbid.
Well, and I hope that doesn't happen. But if you did, I wouldn't judge you. You could tell me the reasons why
yeah.
you feel that way. I would reach out to you and tell you how much God loves you and how much he wants to bless your life.
You know, I couldn't even imagine any of that. Like you said, your friend.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't see any signs or anything.
No, my friend that's sitting here with me,
yeah.
it was her son. She didn't see any signs. Some people, there's no signs. Same way with my daughter and her dad. He had just left her apartment. Everything was fine. He looks back at her and just smiles. And he walks out the door. And then in the middle of the night, with
wow.
no signs.
There was
not
something in that look back.
Something in that look back that she did not see.
No.
And there was nothing. There was no, he didn't give away furniture. He didn't do anything like normal suicidal people do.
Wow.
They will give you the last dollar off, you know, because they know they don't need it no more. He didn't do any of that. There was no signs. So I'm telling you, it's not you.
Right.
You know, it's not your fault that you didn't see no signs, because you can't get it out of, you know, of clear air.
True.
And stuff. There's no way you're going to know that they're going to commit suicide. There is no way. Some people keep things very secret. They keep it very well hidden.
And that's the thing that really hurts, when someone is really close to you and you didn't
know
anything, you didn't see anything, you didn't hear anything.
No.
Well, why didn't I? I see you every day and I talk to them, you know.
Yeah. There wasn't no long
that's
goodbye.
True.
There wasn't no great big hug. There wasn't any of that, you know. And you think, what happened? You know, where did I miss it? Where did I go? What did I not see? But you can't see thin air.
No.
You can't.
No.
There is no way. And this is why we need to reach out. If you're suicidal,
absolutely,
or if you're a parent that has experienced it through a suicide, through a family member, whatever it is, it's time that we all start speaking up and we start reaching out for each other, because we need to be there for our brothers and our sisters. We need to speak up and say, no more suicide. This is it. No more. You know, we're not going to lose one more person, one more child, one more brother or sister to this disease, this horrible, horrible thing that it is.
It is terrible. They say that during COVID it was on the rise.
Yes, and it was. Well, he, my ex-husband had lost his job, so it's more the one thing that he had.
And that was in December.
And it was in December. Mm-hmm. And it was the one thing that he had. So did it shove him over the edge? I don't know, but probably. It probably shoved him over the edge, you know, because he was all by himself, you know. And so, you know,
and that's not a good place to be either.
No.
Being all by yourself.
Yeah. And that's the one thing a suicide does. It isolates you.
Mm-hmm.
It really isolates you.
I believe that.
You know, you pretty well stop talking to your family. You pretty well stop talking to your friends. You know, you stop thinking, believing that you're even worth, you know, having a conversation with.
Right.
You know, and so that's what suicide does. It changes everything around you. And it's so sad. It's so sad that you feel that hopeless, that you would think of harming yourself, when God is not that. God loves you and he wants to give you his blessings on you. He wants to pour into you. He wants to heal that hole that is in your heart. God wants to heal that hole. You know, he wants you to think of him on the cross dying for you. He died for you so you don't have to die to save your family. That's right. That you might live.
More abundantly.
That's right. People are dying. People are committing suicide because they're committing suicide because they think they're dying to save their family. But that's not the truth. You're not saving your family.
From who?
Themselves. Right. But Jesus literally died so you didn't have to die.
That's right.
You didn't have to die, that you could live. You could live.
An abundance of life.
An abundance, that's right. And you can, and it is possible. It is possible not to commit suicide. It is to choose life.
You just gave us a helpline.
Yep, you've got
survivors, right?
Yep, we've got Caroline, which I love Caroline. They're right there for you. It's area code 740-383-2273. That's amazing. Caroline is wonderful. They're there to hear for you. Then we've also got the Suicide Survivor Group on Facebook. Just go on there, put the word Suicide Survivor Group. It's there. And also, if you've got a drug and alcohol problem, I know that is hard, because I suffered from alcoholism for many years of my younger life. And I know what that struggle is, not to be able to put down a drink or a drug. And there's a phone number that says 1-855-921-2955, and it's for drugs and alcohol. And you know, you just got to start asking.
Yes.
It's not shameful to ask.
You should not be ashamed.
No. You should never be ashamed to ask for help. That's right. Because people are wanting to be there for you. I can't solve the world. And that's one thing that has been hard on me. trying to reach out to other suicidal survivors and stuff, right, is because I want to save the world. I do. I want to reach in there and say, hey, don't do this, you know, and if I could, I would, you know, but I know that one person at a time, you know, we can all save somebody. That's we true. All can save somebody, you know, or try, at least try, and not blame ourselves if it's happened to us. Mm-hmm. Stop the guilt, because you can't pull, you just can't pull a reason out of thin air why they did it. Because there is nothing reasonable about it. There is no reasoning. So you can't. You can't stop somebody when they're going to do it, when they've made up their mind, when they've gone that far. There's no stopping them but Jesus.
Yeah, like you said, the young man that reached out to you, at least he reached out.
He reached out.
He said that the pastor almost got him in.
Oh, my goodness.
Almost got up there.
Oh, I could see him white-knuckling that pew, that church pew. I could see him white-knuckling that church pew. He was hanging on for dear life, and God was beckoning at his heart. You know, when I thought, you know, on the way out, when he told me he almost got me, I said, what do you mean? He goes, that preacher almost got me. Oh. And I was thinking, I thought right then while I was looking, turned around looking at him, thinking, right, God's going to get another chance. Ooh. It's not over yet. But how did I know that would be his last time?
First and last.
Yes. How did I know? Because I didn't know what was about to happen. You know, but that don't have to be you.
No, it
doesn't. Don't have to be you.
There's nothing we go through in our life that God does not know about.
Amen. It's
and
so
he
true.
He still has his hand stretched open.
That's
wide
right.
For you to come.
Amen.
Right.
That's so true, and I'm so thankful. And he takes you as you are. You
as
do
you
not
are.
Have to be perfect.
Nope.
I was an alcoholic, a drug addict. I was a horrible person. I lived on the streets for 3 years, you know, and God still accepted me for who I was. And that's the most amazing thing, is that you could say, God, well, I've got an alcohol problem. I got a drug problem. God, I'm, you know, I'm this, I'm that.
Right.
And God will say, I know that.
Yes, he does.
He'll be like, I know that, you know, because
you.
I created you.
That's right.
I know you,
right,
you know, and I love you still,
right,
and I love you more, you know. And when you realize how much Jesus really loves you, it puts everything else in perspective.
Yes.
You know?
It should, anyway.
And it should.
Hope so.
It should, but I want you to know, if you need a friend, if you need someone to talk to, I'm going to put myself out there, because this one is a hard one. I'm going to go ahead and do it. You call me on my personal phone. It's 740-382-0745. I will talk to you.
Right.
I will tell you how much Jesus loves you. I will try to help. I will try to find help. I will do whatever I can do, because suicide is not the answer.
No, it's not the answer.
It's not the answer.
Wow. Such a gut-wrenching subject.
Yes, it is.
And an unthinkable task, or to brutalize yourself like that.
Yeah.
And I don't know what goes through a person's mind to make them think that they're better off the scene.
Right.
And that all those who know them will be better off.
Yeah, and it's just not the truth.
But the devil is a liar.
He is a liar.
And he tells lies.
Right. And he will speak those lies to your ears. He will speak them so strong that it's actually convincing to you. But you got to let him not convince you.
Yeah.
Your life is worth so much. And people love you. It's not time to die. It's time to live. It's time to live, and we must wake up and start living our lives and putting one foot in front of the other and say, I shall not die today.
Amen. But live and declare.
I live and declare the word of the Lord. Oh,
amen.
My goodness. Amen. That's amazing. We can do that.
Yes, we can.
There are options. There are things we can do besides kill ourselves.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I am such a good subject. Talked about this, I think, in January, through the drug and alcohol, Adam H. Boyd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He comes on at least 2 or 3 times a year, and we talk about that. They deal with that also, drug abuse, alcohol abuse.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was telling me that suicide was on the rise. Well, we need those gifts and talents that just they have taken themselves off the earth.
Right.
Their gifts, their talents.
Everything they could have created, their laughter,
tears,
their love is completely, taken off.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't think anybody else would miss that. But, oh, my goodness, we would miss it.
Yeah, we're missing it.
Yeah, we're missing it. And, you know, and also there's another way that happens is when women are being abused.
Yes.
They become suicidal. And I know that, mm-hmm. you know, when we're being abused and you're in a situation and you think your only way out is just to kill yourself because you've been told how no good you are.
Right.
You've been told how worthless you are. You know, well, suicide is still not the answer because God has so much for you. So much for you. And if you know someone who's being abused and, you know, hey, keep telling them how worthy they are, how awesome they are, how much they are loved and needed, because it comes in so many, the devil comes in so many ways.
Yes, he does. He's a liar.
Oh, he's trying so hard to destroy people
and
so many acts of life, many ways. Mm. And it's a lie. It's not truth.
No,
you know, but you hear this stuff in your head over and over and over and it becomes a record, but you forget that God loved you.
Yes.
He loved you and he died for you.
Yes.
And he wants you to live and your family wants you to live. Mm-hmm. And your family wants you to not just survive but thrive.
Yes.
They want you to thrive. They want you to make it, you know, and they're willing. I know any parent would give anything if their child could come back.
Oh, I'm sure
they would have poured, they would have given millions of dollars just to see the child come back. But why do that? Why don't you let your mom and dad love on you now?
Right now.
Why don't you let your friends love on you right now? And everyone that's in your life that was important, you think was important to you, don't let them go. Bring them closer.
And people have to understand, you haven't done, you would not be the first one to have done what you did. What you did that makes you feel like, okay, I can't live with myself because I did this certain thing.
Right.
We all have sinned.
Lord, I think I did every sin in the book.
We were born in sin. We're not perfect.
No, we're not perfect. You know? Trust me, I'm not perfect. And I have been a wild child when I was young. I was crazy. You know, my daddy always told me my temper would get me killed. And you know, and I almost died on the streets and slept between the dumpsters and the walls. And I didn't know how to love me. And that's a lot of where the people are at nowadays. They don't know how to love God and they don't know how to love themselves.
See, that was very profound what you just said.
Yeah.
That's what's missing in their
it's
life.
It's missing. Yes.
They have shut themselves off from love.
Yeah, they have shut themselves off, and it's very, like I said earlier, it's very isolating.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you stop believing in people and things and yourself, it will bring you so much isolation to where you're only with your thoughts, and the thoughts are lying to you.
Right.
You know, so it's you and your thoughts, but yet the enemy wants you dead, so he's telling you one thing, but I'm telling you, don't listen.
Right.
Don't listen to your inner thoughts.
And you know, that's what I like. I love about Psalms.
Oh, yeah.
Because David went through so much, and he was running from people that were trying to kill him.
Yep.
But he reached out to God. He touched God's heart with his tears and with his writing and his pleading.
It's amazing.
He pleaded with God.
Yes.
He told God what he was going through, how he felt. Why don't you come and help me, Lord? That's what I love about
him.
Because he didn't.
He was real.
Anything.
He was real. I love it.
Real.
You know, sometimes I've got a friend that when she gets upset with God, and she'll go out in the yard and she'll start yelling right at him. She goes, "He knows I'm mad."
Yeah.
Well, okay. All right. If that's what makes you happy, go ahead and yell at him.
And just kind of
it has always freed her, and I picture it in my head. She's out there in her yard just screaming at God. Because God already knows what
he
you think.
Knows.
Yeah. You know, you don't have to be this perfect person.
And he's given us the freedom to have that release.
Yes, it's amazing.
It is.
It's amazing. We can be ourselves with God.
Yes.
I never believed that was true. I never, for many years of my life, I didn't believe that how God could love me. Mm-hmm. I was so unlovable. I did everything wrong. I tell you, I think I did every sin in the book. I'm pretty sure I did.
But you weren't the first.
But no, that's right. That's so true. You know, thank God it probably won't be my last mistake either.
When we're going through that, we think we are.
Yeah.
We're the only one out here doing this crazy stuff.
But it's not. But we're not. We're not. We're not unique in that way. No, we're not. We wish sometimes the Satan really he blasts us, make us feel like we're so unique that we did this terrible thing and nobody could ever forgive us.
Right.
That is so not true. That is not true. God loves you for just exactly who you are. Mm-hmm. He created you, you know, and he knows exactly how to fix you.
Yes, he does. The only one who can.
The only one who can. He's the ultimate doctor.
Yes, he is.
He can fix what's wrong, what you're hurting about. If it's family, if it's about friends that have hurt you, whatever way that hurt has come in and pierced your life so much that you are now thinking that you'll end your life. Please think different.
Please don't do that.
You know, because God knows exactly where you're at, and he can take you to the brightest future.
Right.
There was no hope for me. I lived on the streets. I was out there.
Someone needs their smile.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah, they do.
They need your smile.
Yeah, they need to hear your laugh. They need to hear your funny side.
Right.
You know,
your jokes.
Yeah, they need to hear. You know, they just need to hear. You know, you are unique.
Yes, you are.
You are very unique, and nobody can replace you.
Oh no, sure can't.
You know, but the enemy makes you feel like you're just like everybody else, and you're just nothing. You're nobody. But it's
no
not
one
true.
Is completely the same. We're all unique. God has made us.
Yes.
I think about all the billions and billions and billions of people that had lived before us.
Mm-hmm.
There are billions and billions and billions on earth today. And if the Lord tarry, there'll be billions and billions more.
Billions and more and more. And
everyone is.
Everybody
different.
Is different. Right. I have a funny way about me. God makes me laugh.
Yeah.
And I do. He makes me laugh. He cracks me up. This morning I put it on my Facebook. I was like, you know, I have false teeth. I've had cancer really bad and this morning I've got false teeth, and I put it on there that while I was singing one time at church, all of a sudden my teeth started to pop out of my mouth while I'm singing in front of a lot of people. And I'm telling you, I was literally sweating bullets because I was afraid at any moment my teeth would go flying in the audience.
Wow.
But I think it's hilarious because God has made me laugh at times where I thought I would just die, you know. But see, we all carry something in us.
Yes, we do.
We do. We have laughter. We have love. We have something about us that someone else needs. So ending your life is not the answer.
No.
Start living your life. Start living the blood. Start claiming the promises of God, of God on your life.
Right.
Suicide is not the answer. Don't do it.
We need you.
Yes, we need you.
And what you have to offer.
That's right.
Mankind.
That's right.
You might be the next designer or the next solo artist.
Yeah.
Gymnastics.
Or maybe you're great at doing poems. Or maybe you're good at music and want to do a musical. There's got to be something for you. You got to find out what that is. Don't die before you find out what you're good at.
We need you.
We need you. That's
God
right.
You.
That's right.
That's
amen.
So beautiful.
God is good.
Yes.
But if you need me, you please call me.
It's
740-382-0745. Then I want to give you Caroline again. Caroline is 740-383-2273, and you can call them anytime. And they're also on Facebook if you need support. Maybe someone in your family has died. There's a suicide survivors group, and we go in there and we talk about everything, how you're feeling, what you're doing, what you're going through, because there's so many people that are hurting, and we know that we have to reach out.
Right.
We got to reach out, you know, and stop the pain.
Absolutely.
We got to stop the pain, and we got to talk about it more. Yes. And I know this is hard, and it brings up lots of memories, but we got to talk about it so we can heal.
Yes, yes. That's good. That's
yes.
Good. And we do need to talk about it.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much, Annette, for coming and sharing. That is priceless because you're talking about the unthinkable.
Yes.
It's things that don't even cross our mind that could possibly happen in our own homes or
right.
in our friends that's close around us.
And yeah. You never think it's going to happen to you.
No.
Yeah, you don't. And so all I'm saying is let's talk about it.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's talk about it now.
Wow. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And the information that you came and you're sharing with those who are listening. And remember, Annette gave you her personal number in case you really wanted to talk to her or anybody about anything. You don't even have to give your name.
Nope. Don't have to give your name. Just call.
I'm struggling with this. I need some help. Could you help me? Or
yes.
Whatever you... It wouldn't take much.
Yeah, that's right. I'm here. If you just need prayer, if you need prayer that those thoughts will go out of your head,
right.
I'm here.
I want to pray with you. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, we are out of time. I think... Hopefully that was covered sufficiently. Remember, God loves you. We love you. We need you. We need your talents.
Amen.
We need your gifts. The world needs you. No matter how bleak it may look, the end is not yet. You've been listening to A Voice of a People live here with Linda Sims on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. Until next time, be blessed. Thank you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio, the place to talk. From legendary comedian Kay Ballard, performing the fast food song.
Oh, there's one song that you like. I feel that, you know, fast foods have ruined the world.
Oh.
On the Champs-Élysées, on the Appian Way, there's McDonald's. By the Tomb of King Tut, there's a chuck full of nuts and McDonald's. At the Scala, they sing by a big Burger King where the styrofoam boxes go sweet. What's the use? What's the hell? I just heard Taco Bell went and franchised the wing at the Louvre. You know, I could go on and on and on, but that's it. I love things that are topical and that are kind of true.
The legendary actress and the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
What would we do without gossip, for heaven's sake? Oh, it's naughty. But it certainly fulfills a certain catty side of